Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, Text 221. Ragano gamarge tare bhaje jai jan. Shai jan pai braje brajendra nandan. Ragano gamarge tare bhaje jai jan. Shejan pai braje brajendra nandan. Verse translation. If one worships the Lord on the path of spontaneous love and goes to Vrindavan, he receives the shelter of Brajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. In all, there are 64 items listed for the rendering of service unto Krishna, and these are the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and given by the spiritual master. One has to serve Krishna according to these regulative principles, but if one develops spontaneous love for Krishna as exhibited in the activities of those who live in Braja Bhumi, one attains the platform of Raga Noga Bhakti. One who has developed this spontaneous love is eligible for elevation to the platform enjoyed by the inhabitants of Raja Bhumi. In Raja Bhumi, there are no regulative principles set forth for Krishna's service. Rather, everything is carried out in spontaneous natural love for Krishna. There is no question of following the principles of the Vedic system. Such principles are followed within this material world, and as long as one is on the material platform, he has to execute them. However, spontaneous love of Krishna is transcendental. It may seem that the regulative principles are being violated, but the devotee is on the transcendental platform. Such service is called guna-tita, or nirguna, for it is not contaminated by the three modes of material nature.
Raga-noga-marge-tare-bhaje-jejan Shaijan pai braje brajendra nandan.
If one worships the Lord on the path of a spontaneous love and goes to Vrindavan, he receives the shelter of Brajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. No rules in Ragana, in Bhakti. There are no regulative principles. That doesn't mean that it's totally chaotic. There is a... In Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes, there is a schedule to follow. It's not that it's all written down and there are penalties for not following it, but Krishna gets up at pretty much the same time every morning, and he's bathed and milks the cows and takes his breakfast. And the way of cooking, it's also not spontaneous in the sense that, okay, let's make a new preparation with one part of rice flour, 53 parts of salt, and one part of sugar, and mix it all up and give it to Krishna. It's spontaneous. But no, everything works according to some principle, but the regulative principle, this is a term that, as far as I know, Srila Prabhupada introduced. It's an English term. The Sanskrit that it seems to be derived from is vidhi. Therefore, we have the term vaidhi bhakti. Here the discussion is of raga noga bhakti. So, vidhi means that which should be done. So, spontaneous devotion means that service to Krishna is done without being told, you have to do this, you have to do that. But it's done naturally, out of pure love for Krishna. It's not that one has to follow, I have to follow it, otherwise I'll be punished. Or I have to follow it. In the case of Vaidhi Bhakti, it's followed so that one can be purified of materialistic consciousness, attain attraction to Krishna, and that is attraction and attraction to Krishna. There is raga noga bhakti. We needn't be afraid of this term raga noga. Sometimes we think it's something like some kind of swear word or something like this, but raga simply means attraction. So that's the whole purpose of devotional service that we're performing, is to become attracted to Krishna. And when attraction has arisen, of course, at any stage in devotional service there's some attraction. And in the even those who are sworn to rules and regulations, such as in the Sri Sampradaya, prominent here in Tamil Nadu, there's some attraction to Krishna. It's not that they do it. It's only out of rules that they follow out of fear. There's some attraction. But when one's attraction to Krishna becomes predominant, so that one no longer follows rules and regulations just with the idea, I've got to get free, anartha nivritti, I have to become free from the material contaminations, but one's spontaneously thinks of Krishna. Wakes up in the morning and thinks of Krishna. Throughout the day, thoughts are attracted to Krishna. Or he desires to be on such a platform, seriously desires. Not that, yeah, I think I'd like to be a gopi, and let's go down to the ice cream shop and talk about being gopis. It's not like that. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. Bhakti is described as the experience of the Supreme Lord and concomitant detachment from everything else. So raga noga marga means the path of following those who are ragatmika, whose whole being is full of attraction, attachment to Krishna. In our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we're following Srila Prabhupada. He follows Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in this way, we have a sampradaya of devotees who are worship Krishna in Vrindavan. They're situated in that position. And by following them, we aim to be situated in that position. They come from the spiritual world to give us news of the spiritual world and the process to attain it. And by following in their footsteps and by following their instructions, we can also, by their grace, become qualified to enter the spiritual world and serve Krishna. Now, there are as many ways of relating to Krishna as there are living beings. How many living beings are there? Eta brahmanda bhari ananta jivagan. Even in this little mustard seed universe, it may seem very big, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared this universe, or all the universes, to being like, comparatively, they're like mustard seeds. So even within this tiny little universe, there are unlimited living beings. And everyone is unique. Even each human is unique. Each one has a different fingerprint, or the eye is different in everyone. That's why in the airports, now the identification is taken with scanning your eye, and it should match what's in the little chip in the computer or whatever it is that's in your passport. So even each human is different. But every living being has their own different personality, which is quite complex. Even if you study psychology, still, it's very difficult to understand any one person. If you studied psychology and then applied it to one person and really put a lot of effort into trying to understand their mental state, who they are, why they are, how they are, what they're thinking, why they're thinking it, what are the influences on them, still be very difficult to understand. But every person is different, and Krishna likes that, because Krishna is a fun-loving person, and we're all fun-loving people because we're all of the same category as Krishna. We're all one with Krishna. This we read yesterday in the purport. How we're all one in quality. So Krishna expands himself. He's the one, Eko Bahusyam, the one became many, to expand himself, and he likes varieties. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada would quote that English saying. Everyone is different, and Krishna relates with different people in different ways. Krishna, he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of all nectarian rasas, or tastes. So the taste is, Krishna tastes each person. Just like Krishna, we offer him many items. That's one item of devotional service, to offer Krishna many varieties of foodstuff. Especially on a major festival day, we offer Krishna many items of food. And if someone brings to us many items of food, we may taste a little bit of each one. Oh, very nice, very nice, very nice. All different flavors. If every day we have just some dry chapati and salt, even one day, it seems, there's not very satisfying. But if there are many flavors, we find that's very satisfying. Of course, a human being, because we have limited capacity to enjoy, we can't enjoy fancy food all the time. You may be surprised. You might think that if every day we had a big opulent feast, that would be wonderful. But I had the experience in 1977, of living in the temple of Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara in London, United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, etc. And due to some local council order, there was only a very few devotees were allowed to live in the building. Previously, it had been... It wasn't even meant for residential purposes, and it was grossly overcrowded. So eventually the council, local municipal body, put an order, and only a very limited number of devotees, just enough to serve the deities, were there. And the tradition there was, and still is, now the deities have moved a little bit, half a mile away, something like that. To offer Radha Landanishwara very opulent foodstuffs, so much so that it was famous, and devotees coming and going from America to India would regularly stop over in London just for darshan of Radha Landanishwara and some of their prasadam. So there were only very few devotees, and every day there was all this sweets and items cooked in ghee and very opulent, and the first two or three days, jai! Then after that, you feel... And then for the Sunday feast, we also weren't allowed to invite people, so the fancy item that we all were very anxious for was some plain khichdi. Because you just can't enjoy to the extent that Krishna can enjoy. But Krishna, even if we offer, we think chapan bhog, now we're going to have chapan bhog, that means 56 items. Or we may go up to 108 items, or 1,008 items. But even if we offer Krishna 10 times a day, 1,008 items, Krishna can enjoy them all and ask for more. Aniyo, aniyo. There's that village at Govardhan. Bring more, bring more, bring more. After the Vrajvasis had offered so much food to Krishna, and bring more, bring more, bring more. So Krishna can enjoy, and he does enjoy all the time in all over the world, not only on this planet and not only in this universe, but so many devotees are offering food to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda feeds Krishna. He also expands himself as the cowherd boys, and then he eats in the homes of all the elderly gopis, and then the younger gopis also prepare food for him. He's the greatest glutton possible. Of course, glutton is not considered a very good word. You don't know that probably. It means someone who's just eating and eating. It's not considered something very good. But for Krishna, it's good. Everything Krishna does is good. That may be another symptom of the mode of ignorance, as saying that the highest level of bhakti is in the mode of ignorance. So eating and eating, that's considered a psychological disorder. If one has an eating addiction, just goes on eating and eating. Of course, Krishna doesn't only eat, he works it off in the rasa dance also. And he has a rasa dance at night, and it's as long as a night of Lord Brahma, so he needs to eat a lot. Once, it must have been 1976, I believe, in Vrindavan, there was a dispute between the devotees who were cooking for Krishna Balaram and the temple president. The temple president didn't want to spend much money because they didn't have much money. And so he said, just make small offerings. Krishna appreciates the love. And the pujaris and cooks, he said, no, we're going to cook big offerings. So the question came to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, you should feed Krishna like a healthy young boy. In other words, feed him plenty. So this is one aspect of Krishna's enjoyment. He's not only eating, he's the transcendental connoisseur. Therefore, he's called Rasik. Devotees are also called Rasik, because the Rasik means one who appreciates rasa. So devotees, they also appreciate. And Krishna is Rasik Shekha. That is his name. Where's Rasik Shekha Das? He's the topmost. He's the pinnacle of all enjoyers. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he enjoys the devotees' offerings to him and their personality. Krishna's not just locking himself up in some room and eating all the food. He eats with all his cowherd boyfriends, a big group of them. They all eat. For breakfast, shukta, what is that? Shukta shakadi bhaji nalita koshmanda dali dalna dugda tambi dadi mocha kanda. What was the next line? Dali dalna dugda tambi. So many items of the Krishna. And that's only their breakfast. That's before they go out to the pasturing fields. So they have a solid breakfast. So there are as many ways to reciprocate with Krishna as their living being. And even each living being, they may have different moods, they have their sthayi bhav, or their basic way of relating to, their basic mood in relating to Krishna. But everyone is different, and that difference is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, of course, in our purified state. Krishna doesn't enjoy when we are full of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsara, these material contaminations of lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, and pride. But when we're purified, then all our emotions are fully absorbed. Everything, our whole being is fully absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna enjoys reciprocating with us. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. Yesterday I quoted, or the day before, Brahma Sanghita, this yankama krodha sahaja pranayadhi bhiti, this verse. How
material emotions, when directed toward the Supreme Lord, or material propensities, that can purify one to the extent that one can attain such a form. That's called Peshaskritanyai. That example is given of the, this is given in the Sanskrit literature, of the bug, the small insect, is captured by a bigger insect and trapped. And by meditating on that bigger insect in fear, then that smaller insect also attains such a form. I'm not exactly sure of the biology involved here, but this is the example given. There's a similar verse given in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, and that also appears at the beginning of the narration of the Rasa Lila in the 10th canto. So we can understand this. This is on the spiritual platform. These emotions are applicable. Kamam, krodham, bhayam, sneham, aikyam, sohridam evacha, nityang haro, vidad hato, yanti tan mayatam, hite. That by desire, by anger, by fear, by affection, by oneness with, by friendship, if one constantly meditates on the Supreme Lord Hari in such a mood, he goes to that situation where he becomes completely absorbed in him, in that mood. So this is very different to what other paths that we find in the Vedas, which are very much, other paths are very much self-centered. But this bhakti path is centered on Krishna. That one, yanti tad mayatam hite. One goes by absorption in him, one by absorption in thoughts of him, one becomes tanmaya. Yeah, one by constantly meditating in that way, one becomes absorbed in him. That's a word commonly used in Indian languages to the present day. Tanmaya. Well, one becomes, you have that in Tamil also? No. Means to be absorbed in. Nandakumar's daughter, it's called Tanmaya. So on other paths, karma, jnana, one is thinking about myself in karma, how I will enjoy this world, or maybe how my community will enjoy this world, how, or on jnana, I will become free from this world, and in bhakti, how I will offer all my emotions to Krishna. Bhakti is often called the path of emotion, the bhava bhakti. So it's not just about some rules, but feeling is to be there for Krishna. Yesterday I read that, and I'll read that again. It's really it's there in one purport, but it's really a very, very important statement. That's the thing. If you read these books of Srila Prabhupada, you'll read them again and again, and you'll come across some statement, even if you read the book five times previously, and all of a sudden you're struck, oh, this is so significant and profound. And you may just read it, and okay, go on to the next line, and then one time you're just struck how important it is, this statement. I'll read it again. I think this is the third day in a row now. That the conception of God as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord, but the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental position. So, this too much stress, of course there cannot be too much stress, but on God as being the supreme power, well, if it's too much stress of being the supreme power, that also, it's not that far away from the totally impersonal conception. Because in person, in the personality, when we say the supreme person, then he has to have personality. And when there's personality, then bhakti means to reciprocate with the personality of Godhead. But if we only say, we only see the position, oh, it's the Prime Minister, Prime Minister, salute, salam, whatever. And we only relate with the power, we don't know the personality, it's not that distant from the impersonal concept, because we don't give any importance to the person. We say there's a person, but we don't give much importance to the personality, only to the energy, the energy which is inherent in him, to the power which is inherent in him. Now the Madhva Sampradaya in particular, some of the members, they very much criticize the Gauriya Sampradaya for, it's not according to Shastra and all this dancing with the gopis and all this kind. But Madhvacharya is famous for his strong point of emphasizing dualism. There's the jiva and there is the Supreme Lord. He emphasized the personality. But if we only emphasize the person of Godhead without his personality, then it's a bit dry, to say the best, and possibly even, but the conception of God as some ruling power, that can be understood by someone in the inferior energy of the Lord, but only one who's in the transcendental position can conceive of the personality of Godhead. So, of course, in the Madhva Sampradaya, there are also very many beautiful songs and prayers in appreciation of the personality of Godhead. And we do need to stress his superiority and his power for the foolish conditioned souls, beginning with ourselves, who are in the consciousness of trying to enjoy this material world. But personality, we should understand, means he's the complete personality. That means personality is characterized by exchange of rasa. Otherwise we're machines, robots. So to appreciate Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the very form of all nectarian rasas, as Rasik Shekhar, this is full theism, theism beyond theism. But that is possible to enter into if there is pure devotional service. We've often heard this term, Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti means Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnanakam Adhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Shuddha Bhakti is that stage which is attained by practicing Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti. But when one is cultivating the desire to be free from all extraneous desires, then the question of raga, actual attachment to Krishna, can arise if we have the determination to be free from everything else except that attachment to Krishna. Viraktir anyatra. Bhakti Parishana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra. Bhakti means experience of the Supreme Lord and detachment from everything else. And that everything that's in the whole material cosmos for the jiva to experience comes under two broad headings, karma and jnana. So bhakti, that is anyabhilashita shunyam karma jnanadhyanavritam, not covered by karma or jnana. They're very different paths to that of bhakti. Even in karma and jnana, there may be recognition that there is the Supreme Lord. But the karmis and the jnanis and the yogis, yogis are a major subset of jnanis, they're very confident of their own abilities. They think, well, if I perform my yoga practice properly or chant the mantra properly, then I can manifest. So just that we hear in Bhagavatam of demons, actually, chanting mantras, they manifest some demon. So they're very confident. Okay, we'll perform a yajna. In Varanasi, the priests, they made some demon. Sudakshina, I think his name was, sent him to Dwaraka. So they performed the sacrifice with the Twashta, also performed the sacrifice, and out came Vritrasura. So they're confident. If I know how to do the sacrifice, I can make it. Vishvamitra started creating a universe. They're very confident of their abilities. If you do the rituals properly, then you can go to Swarga. If you follow the path of karma, you can go to Swarga. There's no need of God. There's no need of worshipping any God. This is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Or if I do my austerities and penances, then I can become liberated. The Mayavadis are so confident that danda grahena matrena naro narayana bhavet, that just by accepting the rod of a sannyasi, you become liberated. But the devotee's outlook is completely different. The less in bhakti, the less one thinks of my own ability and simply prays for the mercy of the Supreme Lord, thinking that one is completely insignificant and incapable, the more he actually advances. So in karma and jnana, this emotions of calling out to Krishna, of course in the Vraja Bhakti, the feeling of helplessness in that may not be there. In fact, one may think that Krishna is helpless. Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna, thinking, I have to feed him, otherwise my poor baby, Krishna, if I don't feed him, then he'll starve. But in this world, we call out to Krishna in helplessness. Asha bandha samud kanta. These are symptoms of bhava bhakti. Asha bandha is explained by Rupa Goswami, feeling I'm completely hopeless, I have no qualification whatsoever, but still I'm simply expecting somehow or other, I'm very eager to attain that, that Krishna will be merciful to me. So the karmis and non-devotees in general, I think, well, the devotees, they're very emotional and pretty stupid, they're not like us, because We are performing all these rituals. We're in charge. We know what we're doing. These devotees, they're just like children. You know? They're just crying, and they can't do anything for themselves. So they may worship Krishna also, but that worship of Krishna is not very pleasing to Krishna. Or a devotee may worship Krishna, but still be cultivated. His cultivation of devotion is not jnana kamadhyana avritam. It's jnana kamadhi avritam. It's covered by the desires for liberation or material enjoyment or whatever. And most devotees in this world are on one of these platforms, or a mixture of them. So we see people come to temples, just like in Tirupati, people go. They have a lot of feeling for Krishna, no doubt. But almost without fail, they come asking for something. Help me pass my exams, or thank you for helping me pass my exams, solve my health problem, and so many things. We could maybe at some point in time, some sociologist or anthropologist will get the idea to stand outside Tirupati temple and ask people what they're praying for, and then make a survey and make a graph and then get a PhD. And they can pray to Balaji to give them a PhD and make some fancy title, the Demographic Survey of Attitudes of Worshippers at Tirupati Tirumala Devastanams, something like that. And then he can print it out, make a copy, put it in his bookshelf with the name PhD on it, and no one will ever look at it or care for it ever again. That's the fate of most PhD theses. And there's a photo on the wall of the person with a cap on his head, and he's a PhD. So this, people come to Tirupati or so many temples and they're praying, but their prayer is, it's mixed with mundane feelings. Even though Govinda, and people are very happy to see Govinda, there definitely some bhakti is there, but it's mixed. Or people, some people are thinking that we have to worship God, Narayana, and then we'll get liberation. There are so many gods. They think, well, the Upanishads with the description as they see it of impersonal liberation, that's the actual essence of the Vedas. And all these Puranas, these stories, yeah, that's good for the common folk, and that's important also, that's part of our culture, just like the Shankaracharya of Puri made a big fuss when there was some plan to break the Ram Setu in between Sri Lanka and India, saying, oh, this is Ram Leela, so from the position of a Mayavadi, you think, why do they care for Ram Leela? Because their whole aim is to become one with God, and what do they care for? But they think, well, it's important culture, we have to uphold it. There's some rasa there also, when the people at Tirupati call, Govinda, 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 help me pass my exam, Govinda. Some feeling is there undoubtedly, and that's why Krishna comes very kindly in the form of the deity to reciprocate with people. But that kind of karma mishra bhakti rasa or jnana mishra bhakti rasa, there's some feeling there, but it's not very pleasing to Krishna, and therefore it can't be very pleasing to the person who is feeling like that also, because savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshajaya haitukya pratihata yayatma supersedati. Only devotional service to the transcendent Lord, which is the highest platform, the highest engagement for the living being, only that devotional service which is free of any desire, such as karma, jnana, yoga, ahaituki, and which is uninterrupted, that can please us, because that's our constitutional position. So this karma and jnana, of course there is karma and jnana in bhakti, but there's activity in bhakti, there's knowledge in bhakti. But when we say jnana karma dhyanavritam, that means the desire to achieve that, the conception that I will, my success, my goal is by performing karma, then I will achieve perfection. Siddhim bhavati karmaja. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you can achieve perfection by work. Kangshanta karmanang siddhim yajante iha devataha. Kshiprang hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Krishna says that people who desire karma siddhi, perfection by work, or the the fruit of their endeavors, that we shall enjoy this world, they worship the demigods, and quickly they achieve such a result. So they desire karma siddhi, but then as Bhagavad Gita unfolds, Krishna explains more and more how anyway this whole world is full of misery. So karma siddhi is nonsense anyway. And therefore Krishna also describes later, antavattu palante shang tad bhavatyalpa medhasam. Those who worship demigods are fools, because there is the result they get is temporary. It's also unsatisfying. In fact, it's miserable. So karma siddhi, the path of karma is about work. The path of jnana is about understanding. But one cannot understand Krishna. The attempt to do so is foolish. They attempt to understand that I am Brahmosmi, aham Brahmasmi. I am transcendent to this world. But they don't try to understand that Krishna is transcendent to this world and I am not transcendent to Krishna. So they're attempting the perfection of understanding jnana. But that also, that's devoid of emotion for Krishna. In karma, there's no real feeling for Krishna. In jnana, there may be some bhakti, but there's no real deep feeling for Krishna, because the desire is there, something for myself. So that won't please Krishna. I came across a statement by Vallabhacharya, very interesting. Jnana is in the mode of goodness. Now we're talking about how that sattva-gun, that cultivation of knowledge, that leads to impersonal Brahman. Rajagun is in the mode of passion. That's easy to understand. Rajagun is the mode of passion. Karma is in the path of karma, is in the mode of passion. And Vallabhacharya says that bhakti is in the mode of ignorance. Obviously, that's a tongue-in-cheek statement. That this is the I didn't see any explication of that, but that means the that we can understand as I was saying, the raga marga, in which one is in the mode of ignorance in the material world. One is not concerned with enjoying this world or becoming free from it. It's just whatever situation they're in it, and they don't think beyond that. So the transcendental mode in the spiritual world, one doesn't think of improving one's position. We don't find that the residents of Vrindavan, they're interested in going to the heavenly planets or any such thing. And even they were prepared to worship Indra, but not for the sake of attaining the planet of Indra, just so that to continue happily in their life in Vrindavan. And therefore, Krishna was very easily able to convince Nanda Maharaj, worship Govardhan Hill. Govardhan provides all our necessities, so we should worship him. So a person who only thinks of their present situation without trying to improve it, either materially or spiritually, as in the paths of karma and jnana, they're in the mode of ignorance. So the Vrajavasis, they can also be said to be in ignorance, but that is transcendental ignorance, because they're completely satisfied in their life with Krishna and they don't desire anything else. Not that they're in the mundane mode of ignorance. So bhakti, the ragatmika bhakti, that the highest level is performed in ignorance. That one is not aware of Krishna's glories. Or even if there's some ex-Krishna shows his glories, or someone hints about it, Gargamuni hints to Nanda Maharaj, but it's just so ignorant they can't understand. It means they're just so full of love for Krishna that normal intelligence doesn't work. And actually the criticism of devotees, they're not very intelligent. That's quite true from the mundane platform. See, devotees, they're working, but they don't get paid. I hope so. They they may have good intelligence, but they don't use it for doing useful things like making money and building skyscrapers and becoming powerful. See, they're totally bewildered and illusions. And devotees are saying, ah, yes, if we can be bewildered and illusioned by Krishna, that we completely forget, tanmayam, we can become completely absorbed in Krishna. That is the aim of devotees. And people think that either you should work and try to enjoy this world, and if you can't work to enjoy this world, you're fed up with this world, then just try to get some peace, but do some meditation and become detached from this world. But devotees, they go in the world, they build temples, they distribute books, they get in all this... all these activities and causes so much anxiety, and you go to the spiritual world and there's also all kinds of arguments and then political moves and all kinds of things. It's full of disturbance apparently, but it's ananda chinmaya rasa. It's the full bliss that Krishna is full of rasa means it's not stereotyped. It's not a boring life. It's Krishna's activities, they go in a cycle, no doubt. A cycle from birth to apparent birth to apparent death. And there's the daily cycle of rising early, bathing, eating, going out to the cowherd pastures, and going to Radha Kunda at midday, and so on and so on. Eating in the morning, eating at midday, eating at night with snacks in between. Krishna's a hungry boy. So there's some routine, but it's unpredictable. You can never tell what Krishna's going to do or say next, or what his devotees are going to do. And this makes for this unpredictability makes for blissful exchanges. So the devotee, he's also not stereotype. He works according to Krishna's design, and he doesn't care very much what materialistic people think of him. That tanmaya, he doesn't care. He's absorbed in Krishna. Evang, what is that? Evang savrata, what is that? Evang rata sapriya nama kirtya jatanuraga chitta jutta chai hasatyati roditi roti gayatyun gayati unmadavan rit Chitti Lokabaya, this verse which Ishvara Puri taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam, that the devotee in chanting the name of he who is very dear to him, namely Krishna, but in glorifying that Krishna, Kirtya Jaya. But then the feelings for Krishna sprout in his heart, and his heart becomes softened and melted. Then sometimes he laughs and he cries and he calls out loudly, he sings. And he doesn't care what other people think. He's not even very much aware of them. This is the highest stage of devotional service. Of course, in the matter of preaching Krishna consciousness, we don't present ourselves as madmen. But we should hear these descriptions. We should hear Bhagavatam, hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, hear the descriptions of the great devotees, and then say, yeah, that's what I want to be like. This is what I'm aiming for. Here I'm chanting, I'm trying to do some service. And we can hear, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear regularly about the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, who, as stated in the Bhagavatam, his glories will be broadcast on the same level as that as the personality of Godhead. He's as famous as the Supreme Lord. He's glorified as... When we glorify Narasimha Leela, actually we glorify practically more Prahlad. Nrsimha only comes at the end of the story. Prahlad's there all the way through. Nrsimha came in response to Prahlad, not vice versa. And we see that throughout Bhagavatam, that the Lord reciprocates with his devotee. First there's the devotee, there's Dhruva, then the Lord appears. There's Gajendra, then the Lord appears. So by hearing the activities of the devotees in relationship to the Supreme Lord, the devotee develops a desire. I also want to be like that. So let me serve very nicely, let me chant very nicely, and let me pray for that day when I will also have the same steadiness, fortitude in devotional service, same attachment to Krishna as Pala and Dhruva, or the residents of Vrindavan. They all have that. Karma, jnana, yoga, rules and regulations, these are all part of life, but the devotee puts bhakti at the head. In karma, there's also some jnana, you have to know what you're doing. There's also some bhakti when you offer prayers to some demigod, there's some bhakti. And the whole process can be called yoga. In jnana, there's also some karma. One may not follow, one may be meditating, but there are some rules and regulations to follow. So in bhakti, there are also activities, there's also knowledge, but the essence is not on the great mighty activities that one performs, or the essence is not on how learned one can become, but just the essence is on how we can please Krishna. That is the essence of Raganuga Bhakti. Therefore, we shouldn't be afraid of this term, Raganuga Bhakti, because it means to cultivate the attitude how we can please Krishna. How our feelings for Krishna will develop more and more, so that we're completely absorbed in thinking how we can please Krishna. And that makes us. We're no longer shaped by the expectations of material society. We're no longer shaped by the desire to become liberated from this material world, but our whole being becomes tanmaya, absorbed in how to please Krishna. And then our transcendental personality develops. And we actually see that. People take to devotional service, and if they take to it very seriously, then whatever they may have been, that changes. And someone who may have been full of mundane lust, greed, anger, they couldn't have been completely full of it, otherwise they wouldn't have come to Krishna. But we see how they change, they become purified, and if they may start off with some material desire that may be prominent. Of course, material desire may not go away very quickly, but we see how devotees, they do become purified, and their life becomes dedicated to Krishna, and they'll work very hard for Krishna, just like I've been hearing from Gokul Chandra Prabhu, how so many devotees, they worked hard, literally day and night for this, organizing the Janmashtami festival, and now devotees are going out all over the world, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, marathon, day and night. So there's a sincere desire to please Krishna, and that will purify the person. That is the purification. Then we become real people. Then, just as Krishna is the personality of Godhead, our own real personality develops as the servant of Krishna. And following Srila Prabhupada, we can go to Vrindavan. Where is Srila Prabhupada? He's in Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan. So we can follow him, follow his mood of pure devotion to Krishna, and worship Krishna. And then we can go to Vrindavan to serve Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. So let us do it. And that will please Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, what pleases you the most? He answered, if you love Krishna. So that love is not something cheap. It's not. We shouldn't misidentify it or with the love of this material world, but that is our aim. We have to, at our present stage, we have to follow various rules and regulations to help channel our life's activities and our heart's desires toward Krishna. But that, we all know, that is the ultimate aim that, as is described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speaking through the mouth of Ramananda Rai, describes how we are meant, those fortunate souls who come under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are meant for serving Krishna in the purest devotion in the realm of Vraja, Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? I didn't see my watch. Any other question? Where's my watch? Maybe it's in my pocket. Anyway, what's the time?
9:00.
Okay.
Sometimes devotees ask this question that we practice Vaidhi Bhakti now and how this shift happens.
We practice Vaidhi Bhakti now, how does it shift to Raga and Oga? Does it happen automatically? Well, one thing is we shouldn't think of Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga and Oga Bhakti as being two completely different things. Because in Raga and Oga Bhakti, there are many rules to follow. Probably you'll find those who are supposed to be the practitioners of Raga and Oga Bhakti, they probably follow a lot more rules than we do here. And in Vaidhi Bhakti, there's no bhakti unless there's feeling or some attachment, is there? So we shouldn't think of them as being completely separate things. In Raga and Oga Bhakti, there's a strong emphasis on developing attachment for Krishna. In Vaidhi Bhakti, there's a strong emphasis on following the rules themselves. The definition given, or the outline given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that in Raga and Oga Bhakti, that the aim is to attain Krishna in Vrindavan. That we just read, was it Raga Nuga Mage Tare Bhaje Jajan Shajan Pai Braje Brajendra Nandan. So that is the concept from the beginning. Whereas in Vaidhi Bhakti, the concept from the beginning is of the majesty of the Lord. So it's a lot to do with the conception that one has in the beginning. When one, if one is aiming at Lakshmi Narayan in Vaikuntha, then it's Vaidhi all the way through. If one aims at Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, then Raga, motive of developing that attachment is there from the beginning. And Srila Prabhupada always emphasizes that we're doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. That we'll find in the Sri Sampradaya, for instance, they also understand we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, whatever we're doing. But they see that the pleasure of Krishna is principally in hearing the Vedic mantras recited or the Divya Prabandham. That's also Vedic, according to the what's that Vadagala, and the other is Tengala. Yeah. So according to so that's the. So it's more a question of emphasis. By following the rules and regulations, we are very much required to do so in our neophyte stage. That protects us from falling down into total ignorance of Maya, the external energy, and also helps us to develop our feelings for Krishna. For instance, the rule is that we should rise early and attend Mangal Arati, and then there's darshan of the Lord, and we're singing and dancing. So that not only protects us from being in Maya, but also helps us to awaken feelings for Krishna. So it's not that just you're following the rules and regulations, all of a sudden a thunderbolt hits you, or there's an explosion in your head, and then all of a sudden you become a gopi in Vrindavan. But by following this process, our feelings for Krishna are awakened. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, quoting his own spiritual master, that Krishna Nama Maha Mantra Eto Shabhav Jai Jape Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. Anyone who chants this Hare Krishna mantra, the natural effect is that one's feelings for Krishna will awaken. So, in performing devotional service, that should be the natural effect, that our feelings for Krishna start to develop. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stressed very strongly that by Naam Kripa, by the mercy of the holy name, everything will be revealed to one. And he said at that time the Guru guides one to that situation, and when one is actually awakened, jata anuraga, when one's feelings for Krishna is awakened, then the service of the Guru at that point is just to direct the disciple in awakening his feeling, the feelings which are awakened to direct him in that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explained it in some places, the what we could call the, not exact, well, you could say mechanical, but because it's in Raga Anuga, but it's, or the process, well, just say a simple word, process of meditating on one's Siddha Deha with the Ekadash Bhav, the 11 symptoms. What is your, in Krishna Lila, what is your name, your form, your dress, your place of residence, and your service, and all these different items. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said about the holy name, by chanting the holy name, what is that? Die Mora Nija Guna Rupa. I can't remember exactly. I can look it up, I guess. Where's my songbook? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stressed this. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Sharanagati. Here we are. Okay, I'll read the whole song. It's very nice. This comes at the end of the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishna nam dhare koto bal. How powerful is the holy name of Krishna? How much power does it hold, literally? Bishoy bashan anole. In the ocean of material sense gratification, material desire, mora chitta shada jale. My heart always burns. Rabi tapta maru bhumi shama. Just like a desert scorched by the powerful hot sun. Karna randra patadiya ridi more prabhashya. Borishoy shudha anupam. So entering the path of my ears, it enters my heart, enters within my heart, and it is like a rain of incomparable nectar. So that's the analogy, the burning forest, the burning desert, and then there's the rain of nectar in the heart. The rain of nectar of the holy name. Konte mora bhangesho. It makes my voice choke or become caught. You're telling Hare Krishna, and you just stop. Anga kampe torto. It makes the body shiver, tremble violently. Stira hoite napare charan. Then I can't keep my feet still. Chokidhara. There's a stream of tears from the eyes. Dehe gharma. The body is perspiring. Pulokito shab charma. My whole skin, all the hairs are standing on end. Biborno hoile kolebo. And my body becomes pale, loses color by the effect of the holy name. Murichito Hoilomon, the mind becomes as if fainted. Pralaya Agamon, as if it feels like devastation is coming on. Bhave Sarva Dehe Jorjo, and the whole body due to this emotion. Jorjo, I don't know what that means actually. Anyone? Jorjo? Any Bengalis I can say? No. Anyway, something extreme happens. Kare eto upadrav, chitte borshe shudha drav, more bhare prema shagar, more dare prema shagare. It causes such a disturbance and apparent disturbance, but this rain of nectar within the heart and plunges me into the ocean of prema, of pure love of Krishna. Kichu na bhujite dilo. I didn't understand anything. More to batul koila. The holy name made me a madman. Mora chitta bitta shabahari. And takes away my mind and my wealth, takes everything away from me. Loinu ashray ja heno bebahata. I took shelter of the holy name, and look what the holy name's doing to me. What kind of reciprocation is this? Bornite na pari eshaka. I can't describe all of this. Krishna nama ichchamoy. The holy name of Krishna is independent. Acts according to his own wish. Jahe jahe shuki hoy she mor shuke shambha. In whatever way the holy name is happy, that is my happiness. In other words, if the holy name makes me mad, okay. Prema kale kanam, the holy name is the bud, or the bud of prema, of pure devotion, becomes manifest with the holy name. Adbhuta roshe dham, it is the abode of all wonderful rasas. Heno bal koraye prakash, and such power it manifests. Ishat bikoshit puna, expanding that bud a little bit. Dekai, here we come. Dekai nija rupa guna. The holy name shows to me my own original form and qualities. So that's the point. This Bhakti Sanskara Thakur would quote this. That the holy name, when we become so much absorbed in the holy name like this, then the holy name reveals to us our original form qualities. Chitta hari loi Krishna pash, and takes my whole consciousness and brings it to Krishna. Purna bikoshito haya, and when this bud is of prema is fully expanded, braje more jai loya, takes me to Vrindavan. Dekai more sharup bilash, and shows me my activities in my original form. So you see, it's all Bhakti Narottam Thakur says comes from the holy name. Everything. More Siddha Deha Diya, giving me my Siddha Deha, eternal form, perfect form in the spiritual world. Krishna Pashe Rakhe Giya, keeps me at the next to Krishna. E Deha Kare Saravanash, and this material body which we might still be living in, that becomes completely destroyed. One attains this spiritual form. As in the Bhagavatam, mukti hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti means to give up this so-called form, material form, and be situated in one's actual form, spiritual form. Krishna nama chintamani. The name of Krishna is a chintamani. Gives all desirable things. Akila Roshera Kani, it is the like a mine of all rasa. Nitya Mukta Shuddha Roshamoy, it is always on the transcendental platform and it is full of all pure rasas, as contradistinguished from mundane rasas. Name Balai Jato Shabloy Hoi Hoto Tobe Mor Shuker Udoy. So, by the activities of the holy name, by the power of the holy name, then takes everything away from me, destroys my material life, And that is the awakening of our actual happiness. That's a rough translation. So that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to emphasize this, although he didn't deny that there is the path of Manjari Sadhana. That he didn't deny that there is a path of that, but that one can meditate on one's form as a gopi in Vrindavan. But he said that one has to, he said, if there's anyone qualified for that, please let me know, because I didn't see anyone so far. And he expressed astonishment that people could be talking about this and aspiring for this when they're still on the mundane platform. Up to that time, it was still quite prominent that there were, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that there were Babaji's regularly hanging out with Sevadasis or usually widows who they kept as concubines in the name of Leela. And that was particularly in Navadvip and Radhakund, but that's not there anymore, as far as I know. I did meet once in my travels in Bangladesh one guru who wasn't a very big guru, he just had a couple of widows with him. But that, I would think by the people say Bhaktisiddhanta is so heavy and this and that, but it seems like he's stamped out by his forceful preaching. What Gaudiya Vaishnavism was widely considered to be a sex cult. Vivekananda said it's a sex cult. It wasn't all the Babaji's were like that. Of course, we had Jagannath Das Babaji's, and there were others also, but there were enough of them that Gaudiya Vaishnavism got a very bad name. So this warning against Raganuga Bhakti is imitation by which one will fall down. And we have to be very careful in the present generation, because if we think that it's all right for sannyasis to wander around the world with women, young women as secretaries, or any woman as a secretary, it's a very dangerous sign. We think, well, they're on the transcendental platform, so it's okay. It's very, very dangerous. So, any other question, point, protest, comment, complaint? Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai! Sri Sri Gaura Nitai ki jai! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.